It's that, you know how I say this, most wonderful time of the day when we get to talk to Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Hi, Arthur.
Hello there. I'm in a good mood today because I'm going to eat my own food. I have gone out a couple times since last we talked. And because I'm on this no-carbohydrate regimen, I was happy to go to with a cousin and his wife to a steakhouse. And I had another occasion to go out, and we went to a steakhouse. But at the first steakhouse, and I'm going to name a name here because I thought it was sort of disgraceful, Bryant and Cooper. I'm sure there are people listening that have heard of this restaurant because I think it's been around like 50 years or close to it, and it's in Roslyn, Long Island. And the reason we chose it, besides that it has this great reputation, and it's an old steakhouse, I always enjoy an old steakhouse. I knew I was going to get good meat and some good vegetables, and that's all I was after. But it was also close to where my cousin lived. It was sort of between us. It was much closer to him than it was to me. But fortunately, I don't trust GPS or any Google or anything like that to tell me about the traffic because it's never the same as what they tell you. And they told me it was going to take me an hour and a half to get to this place, which usually would take 40 minutes. But I left an hour and a half, and of course I was very early because there was no traffic. So it wasn't so bad. Anyway, on the menu, as a special, is a dish called steak a la stone. I happen to know the history of steak a la stone and what it's supposed to be. This was a skirt steak, which I love. I love skirt steak, a la stone. I thought, what could be better? A la stone is, in brief, but I'll give you the details, in brief, it's steak, sliced steak with sautéed onions and, in the original recipe, pimento out of a jar, but if you're going to make it right, with either roasted peppers. I roast my own peppers, but you can buy very good roasted peppers in a jar these days. And for steak a la stone, they're okay. So, and that's it. I get this meat. It is literally leather. I ordered a medium rare. It's hard to... Sometimes skirt steak should be a little bit more than medium rare, you know, more towards medium to be tender enough. However, I'm figuring this is going to be sliced steak, one. And two, these restaurants always cook things a little bit longer than you really want them to. So I said, I want it medium rare. I get this well-done, thin slice of skirt steak. God knows what they did to it to get it that thin. I mean, there is a thin end and a thick end, but you're in a great old steakhouse. You expect to get a little bit juicy meat. No. It was leather with a lot of onions, got to admit, and the onions were pretty good. They were what my mother would call smothered onions. I made some this morning, so I'll say I had to smother them. And literally, I looked very closely. Two tiny strips of pimento. So that was so disappointing that, as is my wont, I had to go home and cook it correctly.
enjoy it
the way it's supposed to be. So let me say, steak, because I love this history, because I had a firsthand. What do you call it? I did some primary research here.
Okay.
Steak a la stone was a dish from the Palm Restaurant on 2nd Avenue. You recall the Palm?
Palm
on the west side of 2nd Avenue and like 43rd Street. And on the in the early 70s, it was such an important restaurant,
right.
Such a busy restaurant. They opened a second one across the street called Palm 2, T-O-O.
Exactly. I was just going to say that the number of times that certain people that I knew got wrong footed. They went to, we're going to the Palm, but they forget to say two.
It's possible. Also, that you would go to Palm because there was a period there. Look, Palm and then Palm 2 had a lot of serious regulars. And they catered, of course, to the regulars, which is why they had all these regulars. And the regulars included all kinds of captains of industry, as they used to say. I mean, really rich, important guys would go there for lunch, or they would go there for drinks after work. Wall Street guys, too. I should say finance guys. In any case, one of these finance guys was a man named Lewis Stone, and it was his place. He was one of the regulars. He didn't need a reservation. He just walked in. So Louis Stone was the because he's died a long time ago, the father of Oliver Stone, the movie director. And yeah, Hume is right. So Lou Stone hung out at the Palm, and he was married to a woman named Jacqueline. So I come on the scene looking for who was Stone and blah, 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 and I discover that my friend, Jean-Claude Baker, another famous restaurant guy, Jean-Claude was one of Josephine Baker's, in quotes here, Rainbow Tribe, which was these, I think it was at least 12 children that she adopted, or maybe didn't really adopt, but took under her wing, including Jean-Claude, who was a bellhop at the hotel she lived in. I'm forgetting the name of the hotel in Paris. And he, I guess it must have been late 70s, early 80s, opened a restaurant on 42nd Street on Off-Broadway Row there called Chez Jacqueline, dedicated to his adoptive mother. And then he later on wrote a biography of Josephine Baker. And he was a very, very, very warm-hearted, open-armed, literally, restaurateur, used to embrace me when I walked in. Oh, mon ami! He did this to everybody, though. Anyway, I was telling him one day that he has passed away, by the way, about, I don't know, 6 or 8, 10 years ago. His brother, another member of the Rainbow Tribe, continues the restaurant. He always worked there. I'm forgetting his first name. I'm sorry. The Chez Jacqueline is still there. Anyway, and very active, very amusing place to eat, and you said good food. In any case, I'm telling this to Jean-Claude one day about steak a la Stone. He says, well, I know Mrs. Stone. She is a friend of mine. And ends up, she was the same age and also a French woman. So they bonded at some point. By the way, Lou Stone and Jacqueline Stone were divorced at some point. I think Oliver was just a teenager. I don't know what kind of relationship he had with his father, but I got to tell you, a lot of his movies have father-son relationship themes. So Jean-Claude says, oh, you should call Jacqueline, and she'll tell you all about steak a la Stone. So I call Jacqueline, and she, in fact, was well aware that they had this dish named for her former husband at Palm. And she said, oh, yes, Lou liked to hang out at Palm, but he never would have ordered steak with peppers and onions.
Yeah.
He was strictly a meat and potatoes guy. The onions and the peppers would not have been his thing. But the real recipe, as I have it in New York City Food, my big book about the history of New York and through food, is as dishes were in the 1950s. If you wanted to be fancy, whatever it was, you served it on toast points. So I think, actually, this dates back to the 1920s. It was still being done in the 50s. So the steak a la Stone is, as I said, smothered onions with pimento or roasted peppers. I made roasted peppers myself. And it's on toast points. And then at the last, you pour over melted butter.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what, you know, I'm sure you drown a steak and onions and peppers and butter.
And melted butter? I mean, how?
Yeah, and you got the toast on the bottom to sop it all up.
My mother would just fell for that.
Exactly. So, you know, that was a hot dish at Palm. And I did a little research this morning. They do not, you know, Palm closed, and
right.
Then Palm 2 closed, both victims of real estate greed, as I call it. So they had to close. But there is a Palm on the west side in the theater district somewhere or over there. And there are, I think there could be like 30 or 40 Palms around the country. It's a franchise or a chain. I think it's a franchise, not a chain, meaning each one is individually owned, which means there's no consistency from one to the other. But anyway, I don't go to the... there's no Palm in the West. The Palm on the West Side never was as good as the Palms on the East Side, so I don't know. Not interested.
No,
to me.
Right.
But Steak a la Stone is, and so I was really happy and surprised to see Steak a la Stone on the menu at Bryant and Cooper as a special. And then wasn't I surprised when it was terrible.
So I just have to say that if they had put, this is what I've been trying to say since, and if they had put it on the menu as leather and onions, would you have ordered it?
As leather with onions, no. Look,
leather,
I like rare meat. So,
okay.
You know, if you're beyond medium rare, if you just even sometimes, well, whatever. I have to say, my cousin ordered a filet. He said it was delicious. I trust him. I didn't try it. It was very tender. I could see practically, you know, the fork went through it. And it was cooked medium rare. And my cousin Jessica and Bob both ordered fish. I wouldn't have myself, but I understand why. Usually you can get a good piece of grilled fish in a steakhouse. This was super boring filet of flounder. So, really boring. Anyway, so not every... I wouldn't use any old steak for Steak a la Stone. I mean, it should be a good steak, but you don't take prime dry-aged meat and make it a la Stone, meaning smothering it with something other than salt and pepper. It's my opinion. On the other hand, most of us don't eat that. You know, if we're going to have a steak, we might go to the supermarket and get a steak, and as good as we think it is, it's not a great steak. It just isn't. So there are a lot of things I do when I make a steak like that. One of my favorites is chimichurri, which is basically Argentinian pesto. I do that in the mini processor. The top leafy half of a bunch of parsley, a clover to a garlic, some vinegar, good olive oil, salt. I like to use a little hot pepper, and that's it. Grind it all up. You can make it as loose or as thick as you like. If you want it looser as a sauce, then add more oil. Good night. You don't have to add any water or anything, and not too much vinegar. Now, I have to say, I'm seeing all over the place chicken and meat marinated in chimichurri. In fact, one of the markets I shop in sells it as Argentinian skirt steak. What is it? It's chimichurri marinated skirt steak. I don't love marinating things. On the other hand, and I wouldn't buy already marinated. I don't know why, but it just goes against my grain. I'm thinking, well, how easy is that? So, but the fact is, it makes a good marinade. So if you have a piece of meat that you don't trust being as tender as you really want it to be, marinate it in chimichurri, and then either grill it. Well, I like to cook my steak on top of the stove.
You're talking skirt steak?
Pardon me?
Skirt steak, flank steak?
Any steak.
Any steak.
However, let me say, so I just use a smoking hot cast iron pan. An inch and a quarter steak takes 4 minutes on the first side, 3 minutes on the second side. Let it stand 5 minutes, and you should get medium rare. I do that mainly with rib steaks, but today for steak a la Stone, I use a strip steak. I think these are like 14-ounce strip steaks, and a half of a strip steak per person is plenty if it's a la Stone, and with plenty of vegetables. We eat a lot of vegetables here. So another thing besides chimichurri, which is good, by the way, on skirt steak, because skirt steak can be a little tough, is my cousin who we went to the steakhouse with, before we got there, he said, I judge all steakhouses. I mean, we were just on the phone making the plan. He said, I judge all steakhouses by do they have sautéed mushrooms or not. I said, that is really, by the way, his name is Arthur also. That is real. Pardon me?
I said, ha.
Ha, but we're not named after the same person.
Okay.
Anyway, I came first. Anyway, he said, by the way, and Bryant and Cooper did not have sautéed mushrooms on the menu, even a la carte. But he got me thinking, you know, mushrooms are a great thing to have with steak, I think. And give me a plate of steak and some sautéed mushrooms, I'm really happy. So, in fact, the other day I made sautéed mushrooms. And pardon me?
No, I was just going to say, so I always have, because I'm not much of an onion person, even though I love the concept, I always have sautéed mushrooms with steak, always.
Oh, well,
that's
there you go.
That's
but
a regular...
not, you know, I think it may be an old-fashioned thing. It's not in my restaurant vocabulary, and believe me, I've been to a lot of restaurants.
Yeah.
That mushrooms were always on a menu at a steakhouse. But maybe they were, anyway.
Okay.
My cousin, who is Artie and not Arthur, grew up in Brooklyn, however, has lived most of his life on Long Island. So I don't know, maybe it was a Long Island thing. But Bryant and Cooper's Roslyn. In any case, it inspired me to make some sautéed mushrooms. And a couple weeks ago, I don't remember what I was cooking, but there was a box of sliced mushrooms that were actually cheaper, same size box as the whole mushrooms, and they looked nice and white and recently sliced, so I bought them. And was sort of disappointed because I'm not remembering what it was I was cooking, but they were sliced too thick for what I was making. If I had done them myself, they would have been much thinner. So, but then again, I liked them that way. I hadn't had a fat sliced mushroom in a long time, I guess. And so I bought those. I don't know why. They're cheaper. In my market, the sliced ones are cheaper than the whole ones. You should be the other way around. But and the sliced ones are not like, you know, old mushrooms that they're slicing. They look nice and fresh and white. So, but they were perfect for cooking with a steak. You know, in other words, meaty mushrooms and a steak. And I cooked them with a lot, only because I wanted to use these up before they rotted, a lot of shallots. I would say three sizable shallots. I didn't mince them. I sliced them. I sautéed it for literally a minute. Threw in the mushrooms. Got the mushroom. This is like an 8-ounce box of mushrooms, and I did them in butter. And you know, maybe took 5 minutes or so before the mushrooms started getting nice and brown. I cooked them at high enough heat so that they don't really exude all that moisture, and I do let the edges get brown. And that's it. You could do that ahead, by the way. Mushrooms are good at room temperature. They don't have to be hot. Pardon me?
Let me just say, I don't know how much time we have left.
We have 5 minutes, according to my clock.
Okay, you've got a great mushroom recipes, uses for mushrooms and soup suppers. I want to throw that in.
Oh, what is it?
Because that's where I found some good Arthur Schwartz mushroom hint, just by the way.
Well, and as far as smothering onions, now my mother always ordered a hamburger with smothered onions. I can hear her voice saying that. And my mother grew up in the 40s. So I would say that that was an old Brooklyn way of saying fried onions, or as they would say now, caramelized onions, except that they really weren't well caramelized. They were smothered. And I did it myself just this morning, so just to make sure that I think what I'm doing is what I'm doing. And I put my, it was a not large onion, but large-ish onion, which means like it was like a 7-ounce onion, sliced. Comes out to about a cup and a half, cup and a quarter of onion. And I put it in 2 tablespoons of hot butter, tossed it around until all the slices were covered with butter, put in a big pinch of salt, and then covered the pan, lowered the heat to medium-low, and let them wilt in their own steam for about 5 minutes. Pick up the cover, toss them around again. Now you will see they've given off some liquid. So now you want to cook them until all that liquid is gone, and tossing them around regularly, if not constantly, toss them around. And when they get to be nice and golden and very wilted, they're done. However, at the end, you're going to find you need to raise the heat a little bit. You can't do it on meat. You can't get them without turning to mush, which is another recipe, without raising the heat. You know, sometimes you want mush of onions, but not in this case. You want them to be at least distinct pieces, but soft and golden. And that's it. And then you put that on top of a sliced steak. Mmm.
Oh,
forget forget the Olive Stone part, you know, just that alone,
right?
And then the mushrooms alone. So anyway, and when I'm super lazy and I don't want to even dirty another pan, there's always horseradish sauce. I like that with a steak, just a little.
Yeah,
half and half sour cream and mayonnaise, and as much horseradish as you want to deal with. I like a lot.
Do you grate it or do you buy it?
No, I buy it. I buy what they call prepared horseradish, which, by the way, horseradish oxidizes extremely fast. So, and we used to grate fresh horseradish for Jewish holidays, and even just by the way, dangerous to do that in a food processor because once you open up the food processor, the fumes from the horseradish can really literally burn some mucous membrane in your nose. So be careful. But prepared horseradish comes in a jar, and it's mixed with vinegar because that's what preserves it, period, including the color. But some brands of what they call prepared horseradish, I think that's a legal name, have sugar. So I avoid the ones that have sugar. There is, you know, then there's the purple horseradish that's mixed with beet juice. And that sweetens it up somewhat without sugar. So if you can find a brand that has beet juice, but not, you know, I wouldn't use the purple kind for horseradish sauce. And I do keep horseradish in the fridge because I use it for other things, like Bloody Marys.
No, there used to be a brand, I don't know if there still is, called Gold's.
Yeah, the Gold's is still, oh yeah, that's the big brand. I do think there's a tiny bit of sugar in it. Listen,
okay.
I used to have a company here in Brooklyn. I don't know why they closed, because I thought they were superb. It was a pickle place, Gus's Pickles. And he made horseradish. You could buy fresh horseradish, freshly grated horseradish from him. And that was great horseradish. But I see brands out there that have no added sugar, just vinegar and water maybe. So that's it. A lot of ways to eat steak. And by the way, I didn't mention this last week when I was talking about braising, which is the opposite of grilling meat. Those braised meat dishes, the short ribs, the lamb shanks, all came about as a reaction to what I was calling in the early 80s the grill it and garnish it school of cookery, which was otherwise known as California cuisine. And that's what the restaurants, all the new trendy restaurants in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, was serving what I call grill and garnish it. Grill it and garnish it. Anyway, and then we had the long cooked dishes, and now I think we might be back to grill it and garnish it.
Yes, I think we might be.
The pendulum swings every 40 years.
Well, at least you've got it timed out.
And fortunately, you and I have lived long enough to remember the last cycle.
and not get knocked in the jaw when it does. Yeah, when the pendulum starts swinging, we notice it. Well, there is that benefit to being out
there. I don't know if it's a benefit, but it's a factor.
I'll go.
So everybody, have a good week. It's going to be pretty cold. And grill it and garnish it.
That ending's too good. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.